You know, people who love the Word of God come to the house of God because they want to hear the Word of the Lord. Makes it a little hard, a little difficult when the minister gets his throat tore up from preaching, but he has to preach on anyway. But I was just thinking how wonderful it is to be able to have a love for the truth. Not everyone has a love for the truth. And if you have a love for the truth, you're fortunate. There's people that don't have a love for the truth. They're very religious, but they don't really want to know the truth because the truth would interfere with their way of life and their plans. They don't want to know the truth. Whereas the Bible teaches, because you have not a love for the truth, God then will turn you over to reprobate mind. He'll send you strong delusions and let you believe a lie so that you might be damned because you did not love the truth. And then you'll think you're doing right and you'll think what you're doing is going to turn out good, but it'll turn out wrong. I was thinking of the thing that recently happened over here at the college over in Athens, Georgia, how that they had what they call a smoke-in. Now, I'm not very smart, so I don't know what that is. But they described it to me as just numbers of men and women, boys and girls coming together with pot and whatever you smoke. They come together. You know, it's changed a little bit from the time when I was a boy. They used to smoke what they call Indian cigars. Now they got what they call pot. And they all have a smoke-in. I guess that's what they call it, a smoke-in. And all they do is just sit there and they just smoke. I don't understand it. But I guess if that's what they're hungry for, that's what they do. I can't think of a more foolish thing to do, can you? It's bad enough a man walk down the street smoking a cigarette and smoke rolling out, you know, like a smokestack. That's bad enough. And when you get close to him, the smell like a goat. That's bad. But when people hem it all up in one room and all of them together just want to sit down in the midst of it and just puff and puff and puff. And I think they've done that, what, 12 hours or more or whatever, 24 hours? Just smoked around the clock. I guess it proves one thing. I'm not modern. I'm not modern and I haven't got into the new way of life. I just haven't got in. There's something about it. I don't know whether you call me old-fashioned or what, but I just don't fit that kind of life. To me, it don't sound very enthusiastic, you know. I don't have any ego toward it. I've got to have a little bit of stimulation and pull in something if I'm going to take part in it. And that just don't impress me at all. I hear these folks say, come on, let's smoke a joint. And I don't know what it is in the joint. Maybe there's something in the joint that I don't know nothing about. But it don't impress me. It just don't impress me. They used to have what they called joints on the corner. And they'd say, let's go down to the joint. And that never did impress me very much. But I guess if that's what it is, that's what it is. That's the modern way of life. And I guess if it continues that everybody will be one great big smoke pot. I guess that's what humanity will turn out to be. I think that's what they say they smoke is pot. So all of humanity will become one big smoke pot. And I believe, I might be wrong, but according to this book, I think the Lord has got a place for that pot. and the fire is already built, and the smoke is already furnished. He called Moab his pot one time. So I think that's where everybody is headed, unless they get in touch with Jesus. Now they tell me that those things are doped up to where it controls a person's mind and nerves. And if that be true, then I can't think of anything more foolish than somebody wanting to give themselves to something that's going to take control of their thinking and of their ability to keep their balance. I can't think of anything more foolish. I want to know where I'm going, and I want to know what I'm thinking, and I want to know what I'm doing, and I don't want to give myself to anything that's going to put me in a condition to where I don't know what I'm thinking and I don't know what I'm doing. It's hard enough, seems to me, to stay out of the hands of the law and to keep from getting killed when you can see straight and think straight. And if you get into a condition to where you don't know who you are and you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing and you don't know why you're doing it and you don't care why you're doing it, seems to me like that's a bad fix to get into. I don't see how, as the world says, that you even got a dog's chance out there. With devils and demons and everything else, I don't see how you'll ever make it. But then again, I guess that's why the insane asylums are filling up. That's why the prisons are filling up. That's why the graves on the hillside are filling up. It's because of that. So that kind of life doesn't enthuse me. But I guess they feel the same way about me. I can just take the Bible and sit down all day long. And I can just meditate all day long in it. And I can just pray to God all day long. And all day the next day and the next day and the next day. And to tell you the truth, if God didn't just pull me out of it and say, get out of here, you got something to do, I just want to live right with him all the time. I just love it so much. It is so wonderful to me. I guess I would find myself neglecting my wife and my children and my responsibility and everything else as far as the natural. Because it's such a great world to be shut in with God. Like the song says, shut in with God in the secret place. I get so carried away with that. I love to come to the house of God. I love to feel that stimulation of the Spirit. And I love to understand the things of God. I love to do it, but some of you don't. I know you don't. Though you come to church, you would like to have a few songs and a little sermon and a switch about and something new and feel better and go home. I know that you would, because you don't have the hunger and the thirst. You say, now, Brother Pike, you don't know whether we do or not. Majorly speaking, I know whether or not the men do, because I know some of them never show up at our fellowship. Whereas we talk for hours sometimes and they're nowhere around. They had rather be out with some old piece of junk car or be out somewhere riding or somewhere at a hamburger joint or be doing something that pertains to the world or laying around the house. I know that because they do it year after year. But still, when you come into the wonderful world of God, and you come into the wonderful things of God, and you begin to see your entire world begins to change. And then you understand why that we love to be shut in with God in the secret places. And why we love to come to the house of God. And I'm sure that if I could go out there and get mixed up in all of that smoking pot, there'd probably be some reason out there that I'd want to be out there with them. But as of yet, I've never stirred up my appetite in that direction, and I'm not expecting to, because it don't appeal to me. But I certainly have developed an appetite for Christ, Well, as the Bible said, taste of the Lord and see if he's good. And he that hungers and thirsts after Christ Jesus shall be filled. Some of you will never be filled because you're not hungry and you're not thirsty. You filled your belly, as the word of God tells us, with the things of this life, having loved this present world. And therefore, having filled yourself with the husk that the swine eat, you don't have any room, you don't have any appetite, you don't have any hunger, you don't have any thirst. But there are those that are hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And as Paul said, they've counted all as lost that they might gain Christ. And you know, one wonderful thing about it, this has a great reward. This has a great reward. The man that gets into this don't just wake up in the morning with a headache. He don't wake up somewhere in jail and wonder how he got there. But this has the promise of eternal life, of health and happiness and blessings and prosperity, and of a good understanding, as well as the enlightenment of that great beyond. So then, I love to go to church. I love to come to the house of God. I love to sit together in the sanctuary of Christ Jesus. I've done it many times in my life. I've been there many times ministering. I've been there multiplied times when I sat and I listened and enjoyed it in the greatest kind of way. Always a wonderful new experience, because I was gathering jewels and I was gathering treasures for my treasure chest. So it's a wonderful experience with me. I come to church so often, and I seek to see if you're hungry. I search and I talk to see if there's a spark that I might talk to you about heavenly things. And I find so often there isn't. So often it's discouraging, because you're so contented and filled up with the natural food from the day and the drink. And you're so contented, you're happy to be at church, but no hunger for God, no hunger for spiritual things. Still in the ambition of your own ego and desire. And because of that, a lot of times I never attempt to get into anything spiritually. Sometimes on Sunday morning we struggle to try to get into a few spiritual things that we might be able to feed you, because of knowing the need. But even tonight, I don't feel much hunger among you. I don't feel much thirst among you. I feel an interest, but that's all. I don't feel any real hunger and thirst among you. And one of the reasons, of course, is because we spent some time over in the late evening up here feeding the hungry ones in Bill's office, and they got pretty well filled up. Therefore, when they don't hunger, that makes it bad on the rest of the congregation, because they get filled up and get satisfied in the spirit, and the others haven't been satisfied partially from the eats of the day, then it makes it difficult to be able to bring anything godly to you. But you can be sure of one thing, folks, that while the world was being bypassed, and while the world was getting exactly nothing, Christ, his disciples, was being fed to the full. It was off in the corners and in the nooks. But they were hungry and they were thirsty. And the Bible said that they followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And even when they're caught away in that world to come, the Bible said, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And they shall hunger no more, and they shall thirst no more. Neither shall the heat of the day be upon them any more. And there all tears shall be wiped from their eyes. So then, these that follow, they get fed, because they follow the Lamb of God. I follow the Lamb of God, and he feeds me to the full. But there is a great desire to share with you and to help you in the things of God. As a matter of fact, tonight, maybe, I don't know, I'm waiting to see. Maybe tonight we'll talk about some things. I had some things concerning the light of God that I wanted to talk to you about this evening that I partially spoke to the brethren about up in Bill's office. And then I was waiting for an entrance into your heart. Well, as the Bible says, Jesus stands at the heart door and knocks, and he that opens unto him, I will come in and sup with thee. And I was waiting for an entrance or a hunger or a thirst, seeing if maybe we could find something. There's one thing about it, unless I decide otherwise, we'll say a little something to you. I want to read some from St. John, if you've got your Bibles, the 17th chapter, the first verse. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You'll notice here Jesus uses the terms in the 22nd verse, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. A lot of times people refer to the scriptures misunderstanding. Because they get a misconcept, they leave a misconcept with us. But when we go to the scripture, God gives us the understanding that we need. Isn't that right? We hear it said so often, his glory he will not give to another. Whereas I use the term that we are not another. People say, his glory he will not give to another. Whereas they mean that you and I cannot have the glory of God. And that way they seek to sidetrack us in our vision for God, or dwarf us in our understanding. But it's clearly stated in the 22nd verse, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Therefore his glory that he will not give to another, he did give to another. That is in the sense that we are not another, but we are the members of his own body. He did give it to us, and God hath blessed us with the glory of his own Son. In the first chapter of the book of St. John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then art thou, Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give him an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The 29th verse, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus here speaking bears witness of his departure. John here speaking bears witness that he is the Son of God. Notice that the thing that is so fascinating about what John tells us is that his reference to Christ is the same in accordance with the Lord concerning the glory of God. The thing that John saw in the book of Revelation when he beheld the city, he said, I saw this great city coming down from out of heaven, whose light was most precious, like unto the glory of God. This great glory, all the way through the Bible, we are confronted with scriptures that tells us about the great glory of God. And it tells us about the light when it speaks of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Again, it speaks of the Lamb of God in that city. For the Bible said there is no temple in that city. For God and the Lamb is the temple and the light thereof. And the glory of God lighteth that city. Therefore we see that there is much emphasis all the way through the scriptures placed on the light. Always on the light. And then we ask the question, why so much emphasis concerning the light? Why is there so much emphasis concerning light? Do you realize that if there was no light in this world, there would be no life? For life exists because of light. If there was no light, there would be no life. Therefore, all life, all creation, depends upon the rays of the sun and the lighted atomic particles or matter that we find round and about us. So then we see that there is a reason why God refers to himself as the great light. When we think of the light, we think of it in a different way from the way that God thinks of it. We think of it as the sunlight. We think of it as the light that is around us. We think of it as the starlight. We think of it as the light such as we have in this building. It is symbolic. It is a type. It represents, it shows, or it illustrates to our minds God, if we can understand spiritually. Because light, which we refer to as electricity, in many ways, in many forms, that light brings us life. It brings us convenience. We use it in many electrical forms. The light, the great light of this world. Jesus, when he came into the world, knowing that everything depended upon the light, Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
What better thing could he compare himself to than the light? Knowing that the light was the greatest thing of all, and that everything depended upon the light. Therefore, he said, I am the light of the world. As long as you walk in my light, you shall not walk in darkness. I'm the light of the world. But being that great radiation, that great power, that great light, yet it was veiled with a human veil. It was veiled over with human flesh. It was covered to where the human eyes could not see the great light. The embodiment of God was before the people. The embodiment of the great light. Not partial light. For the Bible said that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not some of the light, but the fullness of God was in Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus said, I am the light. I'm not part of the light. I am the light of the world. So then we see by that great, wonderful God of heaven veiled himself in humanity, came down into this world and tabernacled in a human body. You see, God is not like you. God is not like me. There's a difference between God and man. Though we make God like unto corruptible man in this world, yet God is not a man that he should lie nor repent. God is the great light. God is the great light under which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see. No man has seen God at any time. No man has ever seen God at any time. We say, but Brother Pike, Moses saw God, but Moses did not see God. Moses saw the Lord. Never has a man seen God. Never will a man see God. Never shall a man see God. Because no man has seen God at any time. You say, but Brother Pike, there was Jesus. And he's called the Son of Man. Didn't he see God? He was the one that made the statement as he said there. Or as he stood there. He was the one, being a man himself. He identified himself with the others. No man has ever seen God at any time. You've never seen his shape. Therefore, as being reckoned with man, he did not see God. But then, being the Son of God, he was not man. Therefore, it made all of the difference. Can God give his glory to a man? No, because man is corruptible. God hath no fellowship with that which is corruptible. Even his own Son, who is made flesh, he withdrawed from him. But can God have fellowship with the sons of God, which are immortal? Certainly he can. Can God give unto the sons of God the glory of God? Surely he can. God can do it. Can I enter into that light as a man? No, I can't enter into it. But Jesus Christ alone, dwelling in that light, hath immortality. Can I enter into that light as a man? No. But can I enter into that light? Yes. How can I enter into that light? Not as a man. Not as a man. But rather as the sons of the living God. I can enter into that light. For the Bible said Jesus Christ alone dwelleth in that light. I am no more me as a man. For I have passed from death unto life. And no man can see God and live. But I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead to the world. Therefore, can I see God? Yes, I can see God. For the Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. Am I pure in heart? I am pure in heart. How then am I pure in heart? Because I have done works of righteousness? No. Because he purifieth my heart by faith. Shall I then see God? Can I then see God? I can see God. Can you see God? No, you cannot see God. Why? Because you are a man and you are a woman. You want to eat, you want to drink. You want to be in the world. You love this present world, this present life. You have no eyes to see. We're having eyes you see not. You have eyes to see natural things. You have no ears to hear. For having ears, you hear not the things that God says, the Spirit. You cannot hear. You cannot hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You can hear what is said on the jukeboxes. You can hear what comes through the radio. You can hear what somebody says to you. You can hear what comes over a TV. But you do not hear the voice of the Spirit because you have no ears to hear. You have no eyes to see. The God of this world, even Satan, is blinding your eyes. But you say, we are not blind. They got disturbed at Jesus. And they got indignant. Don't you know that we are professional men, Jesus? Why then reproachest thou me, saying such? Don't you know that you reproach me and I'm a professional man? It didn't bother Jesus' ego a bit. They said, you say that we're blind. Whereas he just said, you're blind and you can't see. But being so great and being so mighty and understanding eternity, he said, if you was blind, you would have no sins. But because you say that you understand or see, your sins remaineth. Therefore, you are guilty before God. Brethren, sisters, let me tell you something. You can go to church all your life at Bethlehem, or you can join church denominations. Or you can sit on the bench and play with the babies. Talk to the wife, do whatever you want to do. Pay no attention. But there's one thing for sure. You'll never see that great light until you get out of your carnal mind, your carnal interference, and your carnal way of life, and get down to business with God. For your carnal mind is enmity with God. To be carnally minded is death. That's when the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You cannot see afar off. The God of this world has blinded your eyes. All you can think of is that little human composure. All you can think of is that little human body. That little bit of dust. God said, Adam, of the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. Whereas, I say again, why do we place so much emphasis on this body? We look at our face in a mirror, and we think we look so good. We go to the beauty parlors, and we spend our time trying to get into the world of sports and lift weights and everything else to make money, to get prestige for this little old loathsome image that God said I will despise in the morning. The bastard child that I will despise, for it bears not my image. It is the image of the devil. It is the image of the beast. Satan savors the things that be of the image of the flesh. I don't savor those things. For the flesh to me profiteth nothing, the writer said. Nothing. I don't get any profit from the flesh, God said. Therefore, ye are of your father the devil. But there is another body. There is another life. There is another world. There is another way. God has called us to it. And God has tried to call us out of this old carnal thinking of ours leaning to our own reasoning, confessing ourselves to be wise when we become fools, following the educational system and the tree of knowledge, leaning upon the arm of flesh, when the Bible said, cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help, that leaneth upon the arm of the flesh. And we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. Why does he emphasize the great light? Why does he talk about the great light? Why does Jesus try to bring men down so that he might exalt God? For man has brought God down and exalted corruptible men. And the Bible said you made God like unto corruptible men. I turned you over to reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned, because you abase God in your minds to bring him down to a level to think that you can reason with your PhDs and your little pieces of paper that some professor gave you, have some understanding without God. Woe to you! For it pleased God that when men from their understanding and educational viewpoints knew not God, it pleased God through their foolishness to turn them over to reprobate minds, to dishonor their bodies between one another, to set in smoke pot in groups, and to think it's a great thing to abuse themselves by marrying 2 and 3 times, by getting in adultery, fornication, by cheating and swindling, to get securities and monies, positions. Why does God speak of the great light? The great light, what is the great light? God said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was and still is to every generation Spirit. And what is the Spirit? The Spirit is something you can't feel, you can't get a hold of. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can't feel the Spirit? You can feel the reaction when the Spirit goes by. You cannot see the wind. You cannot tell from whence it cometh or whether it goes. But the reaction of the wind as it passes over your nerves, as it passes over your body, you record it. God is the same way. But beloved friend, God is the invisible God whom you cannot see because he is the great light. Nevertheless, where the name of Jesus is brought, God is in the midst, judging you for your thinking. The Bible said you're to cast down every thought, every thought, every thought. Bring into subjection every thought that you think to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The great light, we've been so foolish that we've sought security through education, through man's feeble little brain and his feeble searching, and one man telling another man that he's great. How foolish can one frog say to another frog, you can jump better than me? Both are frogs, the lowest form of living. What good is there for one man to give you a piece of paper and saying, 5 of us have decided that you're superior to others? What makes them have the ability to call you superior? You may be more ignorant than anybody else with your piece of paper. You may not have good common sense when you get that piece of paper. I've seen them that in that kind of condition. But brother, the Bible said all of them that are of God, every one of them are of a good understanding. What is this great light? Solomon said, Father, give me an understanding heart. What is this great light? I am the light of the world. As I said today to some of the brethren, I stand and I look at an image, and I see a man standing before me. I see a woman standing before me. I see an image before me, and I think, now there is life. In my human concept and my human reasoning, I say, there is the ultimate of God. There is that great masterpiece of God. And then I stand and I look back according to man's understanding, according to man's survey, according to his power of ingenuity and his definement of theory. And then I look at the understanding of God and I think, Lord, in that which is right. And I look and I think, no, I don't see anything. But I say, but I do see something. There is a man, there is a woman. And then as I look, and I see it literally decomposed before my eyes. And I look at the nose, and I look at the eyes, and I look at the bone structure in the sense of my understanding. All of it decomposes. And I see it's nothing but a composition of dust, atomic particles, and atomic matter over which Satan ruleth in this world, being the prince of the powers of the air, with his scientific theory. And I see it fade away into nothing. And I say, my God, where is the image I saw? Where is the person I saw? Where is the life that I saw? Where is this great thing that God made, his masterpiece? Where is it? But like the old violin, without the touch of the master's hand, it is nothing. It is nothing. When Adam strayed from the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, he became nothing but the particles of the earth. From the dust thou art, Adam, to the dust thou shalt return. With your PhDs in learning and sports, ability of entertainment and your appearance, sex, whatever, back to the dust you go to rot as a worm. But the image disappears. And I say, my God, where is this masterpiece I saw? And then I say, but I saw nothing. I saw nothing. How could I see anything, as I've said before? For am I not the same thing that I'm looking at? I'm looking at something that decomposed before my very eyes. Am not I the same thing? I'm an image. I'm earthly. I'm made of the dust. And I say, I couldn't have seen anything. Because how can I confess sight when I'm nothing myself? I'm non-existent, just like they're non-existent. And then that belittles God. Because did God create, did God make? Yes, he did. But I look and I say, no, I don't see anything because there's none of me, no more than there is of him. All lying vanities that don't exist, but a wind that panteth the way. Life is swifter than a shuttle, the writer said. It's like a vapor, it appeareth for a while and vanisheth away. And then I say, no, it isn't there. It's but a lying vanity. And then I think, if that's all there is to God, if that's all that God made is the little particle of dust and a tree that will rot and go back to the original elements from which it came, then God is not very great. God has not made anything. How can I worship somebody that I cannot see the greatness of? Then I say, that can't be, Lord. That can't be, because it's contrary to what I've understood. Then I come back to the fact, I say, I do see something. But Lord, what it is? Whereas they say there's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, I say I do see something. But not with my eyes, it's in my head. Somebody would say, but you're crazy, Brother Pike. No, I'm not crazy. Paul said, the things not done in a corner, I am not beside myself, lest it be for Christ. Did I see something? Yes, I saw something. What did I see? Not with my eyes of understanding, or the eyes are in my head, that is. Not with that, I didn't see anything. Why was it I didn't see anything? With my intellectual reasoning, or my eyes, it's in my head. Why didn't I see something? Because it all vanished into nothing. Man can define it away. Man can break it down. Mind over matter, scientifically speaking, can cause it to decompose. I'm subject to that mind in the earth. That mind is death. Because man runs his course, man goes into a definement, but he can't go into infinity. And he tears down everything, destroys everything, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, which is God's understanding. What is it? I say, Lord, what have I seen? And then I realize that I did see something. Not with the eyes that are in my head. I didn't see anything with that. Not with that. But I saw something in my spirit. Then there is something. I do exist. There is an act of God. There is an act of creation. And I am God's masterpiece. I am made. I do exist. I am created. Do I exist? I exist. Yes, I exist. I am something. I am alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Not a body, because that goes back to the original elements. But I'm alive. I'm something that will never perish. I'm alive with God, that is. Therefore, this life that you can't see and you can't feel and you don't know that it exists except in the mind of God and the eyes of His understanding, the next world that you can't see, which only exists in the mind of God as this world exists in your mind. Here, there was a life. I am alive. I did see something. What did I see? I saw another life. I saw another life. God, the great spirit, made another life. It's there. It's there, I can't feel it with my hands, and though the body wastes away, go back to the dust from which it came, they're still alive somewhere. And I saw a life. Now I say, my God, that's it. My inner me has seen that inner you and that inner man of the other one. And though the world perish, and though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, Job said. The light, for we have handled this light. We have handled this life, and what is this light? It is the life of men. What is life? It is light. What is light? It is understanding, dimensional comprehension, not light like we see. For I say the light is all around me because everything is illuminated. And I pursue the light, but I find out it's nowhere. For as the night falls, the illumination begins to diminish. And in my pursuit for light, I can't find it. Like Solomon said, I searched through the streets. And I said, where is my beloved? Somebody tell me, where is my beloved? And I searched for him, but I could not find him. When he comes near me, he overwhelms me. And I hear the voice of the turtle singing, and the poppies blooming. And as when he places his hand upon the door, my heart melts on the inside of me. For I stand at the heart's door and knock. And as Solomon said, the drops of the night are in his lock. For he is out in the night, in the darkness, in the reasoning of your carnal minds. You've locked him out of your heart. But he said, if you will open to me, And I say, where is he? And I pursue the light, but I cannot find the light. Why? Because the light flees away when the night comes. But beloved, where is the light? Is it in the illumination? No. No, the atoms light up when the great light comes. But where is the light? It's far away, according to science. Millions of miles away. But yet it is nearer me in that it illuminates my being. Paul said we become illuminated by this great light. So then I say, what is this light? And the prophet answers back, the light is the life of men. And I say, but what is this great light that I'm pursuing that I can't find? And I hear somebody say from the Holy Scriptures and the world beyond that it is the glory of the living God. For the nations of the world shall walk in the light of that city. Those that be saved shall walk in the light of that city. And I say, but God, will you so plant a light on a hillside as a beacon out in the bay that ships may see as they pass by? And I say, that can't be. And then I realize that the light that he's speaking of is understanding. Understanding, comprehension, that no man has seen God at any time. He's the great light, but the Son of God hath declared him. God is therefore a spirit. God is the great light. God is a declaration. He must be declared. And how can he be declared? By my feeble mind, by the powers of mine ingenuity. Because I spend 12 years in college? No, but by the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. He is defined by the mind of Christ. It is God's spirit, God's mind. God placing himself on exhibit before man by his own declaration of his own word, saying it is not the minister speaking, but God that speaketh from within him. Therefore have I declared myself. Jesus stated, the Son of God, which is in the bosom of the Father. Therefore, the great light, can I approach unto it? What is this great light? What is this great light? Why do I want to pursue this light? Friend, because I cannot live unless I pursue this light. Why do I spend my time looking for a light? Because I cannot live unless I find the light. There is no life except the light. For the light is the life of mankind. What must I do? I must find it, or my life will cease to be. Scientists is searching for it. Scientists writes book after book. Paul said science, the word meaning knowledge. Science falsely so called, Paul said. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of God, of the knowledge of truth. Whereas Solomon said, if you keep searching, you'll find the knowledge of God. Searching, scientists are looking. They've gone into the body. They broke it down. They've decomposed it in their mind and their understanding. Down to the atomic matter. Einstein, with his theory of relativity, has broke it down. Till he's come to find nothing but a few sparks. Atomic matter that God has created. Like a kid's little blocks that he plays with and puts together and throws them aside when he gets ready. God's little particles. God's little particles that he gives to the children to play with. And that's as far as science can go. The children of this world can't go any farther. So then, where is that light? They are looking. Medically, they broke it down to the enzymes. On down to the cellular parts of the body. The cellular parts they see. But they don't find that life. What are they looking for? Oh, brother, can't you see it? Satan is looking for that life. He is using that tree of knowledge. He's been cut off from God in that life. And he's using that tree of knowledge, that education. He doesn't care if he uses 1,000 generations. If he can get another generation to live after your generation is gone in the grave, he doesn't care. But God does care about everyone that passes off of the scene. Satan don't care whether they ever live again or not. As long as he's got bodies and human beings to fulfill his lust and desire in, and to have his corrupt way of government in. So he's ever searching, ever looking, using up generation after generation, compiling knowledge, trying to get to the life. And he's broke it down to the cellular parts of the body. He's broke it down in the atomic particles. But he still can't find the life. He's searching, looking, but he can't find the life. But praise be unto God, I found the life. We who love Christ, we have found the life. And what is the life? The life is the light of men. And what is the light? The life. What is the light? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What is the light? The great understanding that is given from God. For God hath revealed himself unto us. God is the spiritual revelation. God is the great wonderful light. God is that great part that always was that you can't see. You never have seen, you never will see. Except through the eyes of your understanding, the mind here. Can we be so foolish as to think that these little nerves that go out when the eye goes blind, those little bitty nerves, can we be so foolish as to think that we could see God with that? Oh, brother, when the Bible says the great throne of judgment comes forth in the book of Revelation, and the Bible said from his face the earth fled away, the ocean fled away, the mountains fled away, nothing could find any place. That great light, what did it do? It transformated. It decomposed. In the presence of that light, there is nothing existent but him. And anything that exists, exists in him. And without him, there's no existence. For the Bible said in the beginning, there was darkness upon the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the light moved away the darkness. And upon the face of the earth, and life came forth. Void without understanding, that's where we're at today. The world, human beings, physically speaking, made of the dust. You're void today in the sight of God, void of the mind of Christ, void of the image of God. Though made in his image, you fell from it to the beast level. And the Bible said we don't even know what he looks like because we can't find anybody that looks like him. All of them have taken on the image of the beast. But we know that when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall be changed back into that image that Adam lost. And when the Shekinah moved away, the light, void. It's void without form. Without form. You know, the Bible said Jesus was resurrected and appeared to them in another form. Without form. Without his image. Without his form. Brother, scientists cannot decompose in their minds. They cannot tear apart. They cannot position nor place with their feeble understanding any part of the celestial body. For there are bodies terrestrial and there are bodies celestial. Scientists have no power over that. Whereas mind over matter, that is in this world for them. But brother, with Christ is mind over matter. We have the power to translate these bodies, transfigure these bodies. We have the power to do as Ezekiel did, to transport these bodies from one place to another as he set it down in the valley of dry bones. We have the power, the authority the Word of God, the Spirit, the faith. That's why the Bible said contend for that faith. We have the power to change these bodies from its wretched way of life. We have the power to walk through the wall with the body. We have the power to overcome death. We have the power from the inner man to emerge into that light, that we no longer be a little temporal life that's a breath going in and out the nostrils. Man thinks he's so great with his intellectual ability and skills, he's foolish. The Bible said his breath, his life is in his nostrils. Many times I've walked into the funeral home when I worked there and I've seen a corpse laying in the casket, one here, going to another room, and there'd be one there, and going to another room, there'd be another one. From the dust thou to the dust thou shall return. The trocar having gone in and gouged everything to pieces on the inside. Fluid, something to keep him from stinking and smelling. Man, the end of all flesh. There he was, his PhD and all. He didn't amount to a hill of beans. Great movie star, nothing but rot, like John Wayne and the others. Not even a good memory. You say, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that we have Christ's mind. We have the power over this form of matter. We have the mind of God. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this life which exists in tabernacles in this little body called a man, let it find its creator, let it find its maker through the blood atonement of the name of Jesus. For remission of sin, let that life that departed the Shekinah glory when Adam fell away, let it go back into the Shekinah. Let it be interwoven with the Shekinah. Let God's Spirit take your spirit and make you one with the great Shekinah. Oh, brother, that we might be one with that great light. One with that great life. Here we speak of life. There we will be life. For we are that life. Tabernacling in human bodies. That light. That's what we are. Is the great light. For we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are of that masterpiece that has the master's touch. We are of that he created in his image and likeness in the beginning before it fell through the awful image of the beast when it took on that depraved mind of intellectual reasoning. Oh, brother, sister, we have the mind of Christ. That's what Jesus' mission was for. Much I would like to say, much I would like to go into, much I would like to explain. But we who have fallen from those places have the opportunity to emerge into that great light. And Jesus said, Father, keep these, for I came forth from thee, and oh, Holy Father, I come to thee. These I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but make them a light of the world. And keep them from evil. And let them be where I am someday, Father, that they may behold my glory. And what is the glory that we shall behold? For the Bible said the Lamb is the temple and the light thereof of that city. And the Bible said in the glory of that Lamb and the glory of that light was the glory that the nations beheld. And the kings of the earth, who are the kings? Many shall be the kings. And the kings of the earth that rule over the nations shall bring their glory into that city. Nothing that maketh a lie, that worketh abomination, nothing that is corrupt or defiled shall enter into that city. And the kings of the earth, the nations, shall come into that city and give their glory to God. And that great light, his glory, we shall behold it. Let me be where he is, Father, beholding his glory. Beholding his glory, for his glory is the light. And his light is the life of mankind. Therefore, I have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation because I am born to that great Shekinah, born to that great light, and that light that penetrated, that showed Moses in his illumination, that showed Jesus on the mount in his illumination, that great light, brother, sister, that made Stephen's face as that of an angel,
that great understanding, for they could not resist the wisdom by which he spake. Let's get into that light. Let's grow up into that light. Let's become more greater in the understanding, for that is that light, and move dimensionally from greatness to greatness as we place on exhibit in our life the great light. Or as God swallows up mortality with immortality. Let's stand together. I will destroy with the brightness of my coming. Being reluctant to preach to you tonight, especially about the things of God in this manner, it makes it very difficult for me, because it's such a pressing thing when there's not enough hunger. And it takes such a drive to get over such little. All that men would hunger and thirst after God, for oh, how much you are robbed. How little you see, because you do not hunger and thirst. You've got a life to live. And the young ones say, but I have a life to live, Brother Pike. Yes, you have a life to live. And it seems long and extensive from where you're looking. But I can assure you, my brother, sister, it's swifter than a shuttle. It's like a vapor that appeareth for a while, vanisheth away. And if you escape during your early life, all of the heartaches and deaths and sorrows, all of the bewilderment, all of the troubles, if you escape it. If you do manage to live to have 30 or 40 years counted to you or accredited to you, if you live that long, having escaped wrecks, tornadoes, diseases, problems, everything else, you still haven't done anything. Before you realize it, you'll be looking back on it. Before you know it, you'll be looking back. And you'll say, my God, I've got a life to live. And you'll say, no, I had a life to live. Oh, my God, it can't be true. But it is true. It happened to you. It happened to other generations. Everyone that's ever come on the face of the earth, they look back, and soon they were old and withered. Soon their strength was gone, and soon they were placed in the box. All mankind. Only Enoch, and men like Elijah, who pursued the light, were able to escape it. No, brother Enoch being translated by faith that he should not see death. And they referred back to that faith that was delivered to the saints, saying, contend for that. For we ourselves also should be translated by faith that we should not see death. For behold, I show you the mystery, Paul said, we not all shall sleep. Some is going to discover something. It is a privilege to be a Christian. It is a privilege to understand. It is a privilege to become one with that life. What life? The life. What life? The life. What life? The word. What word? The spirit. What spirit? My words are spirit and they are life. The understanding. The understanding. What understanding? The mind of Christ. Swallowing up mortality by immortality. For in the beginning was it the Word? Yes, the Word. And who was the Word? Jesus. And he came forth, put on flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of that of the only begotten of the Father, and we handle that life. For my words are life. But if in the beginning, which is Genesis, where God said, let there be. If there was a word, and that was God, and the only recognition of God, and that he had never been made known before to the human ear. Oh, there had never been a human ear before for him to be made known to. Then in the beginning was word. What was beyond the beginning? What was beyond the beginning? If Genesis is the beginning, and in the beginning was the word, then, beloved friend, what was beyond the beginning? The great light. The great light, the self-existing one. Beyond was the great light. He became the Word that he might become a mind. The mind, the great light, that you and I might be partakers. Oh, what an opportunity. What a great thing. Let's sing this little chorus together. The Lord said unto me many years ago, Son, the flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. Though you labor for the meat that perish, though you labor for the flesh, though you give your life to the flesh and the feelings, exhilaration, the passion, the human senses, you have accomplished nothing. And what shall you give in exchange for your soul in the end? For what can the flesh afford that God would even consider worthy to be a medium of exchange for that life? Therefore the flesh profiteth nothing, nothing, nothing. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life. Let's sing this little chorus. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. Sing it again. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You know something, folks? The end of the world is here. The end of all flesh is at hand. Even science, your understanding, and that which you depend on in the natural, has declared that by 82, the world will go into a convulsion, and all of the elements will be torn up, and the galaxies shall be torn apart as the planets get in alignment. The fierce heat will come down and parts the earth. And oh, what an awfulness of earthquakes and the interruption of nature. And it is here. Even science say so. And the atomic matter, a warheads along the Iranian border. And those that Jimmy has sent into the Baltic Sea and the Indian Ocean, that to protect us with. The third world war, the end of all flesh is at hand. For all flesh has corrupted its way before God. And God hath laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. He was the one that was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him by whose stripes we're healed. For we all like sheep have gone astray, and every man is turned to his own way. But the end of the world is here. I said the other night, they've gone up into the rockets. They've gone up and as the astronauts. They've looked back. They've circled the globe. They've seen the ends of the earth. They've seen the curvature of the world. The ends of the world. And now they're out there. Their minds have taken away
taken them away from their little units and measures, means of comprehension. And they're losing their stability and their absolute, and they have nothing to control their minds. They're going crazy. They're losing their minds and their mental ability to be stable, and they're turning to dope because they don't know and they don't understand. They've gone out into the great beyond and they can't figure it out. Their little old earth with its boundaries, with its little time markers that said 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock and time to go to bed and time to get up. They've got beyond that now, and they've gotten out yonder into that great beyond, and science can't measure the bottom, and they can't fathom the depths, and they can't fathom the heights, and they can't fathom their surroundings. And they're out there in an endless eternity. For where does it begin? Where does it end? Somebody would say, oh, Brother Pike, it isn't all that big. Then you don't believe science either. If you don't believe God and you don't believe science, you're already out of your mind. You've got to have one of them. Scientists say that in our galaxy alone, there's billions of stars. And yet, scientists say that outside of our galaxy, there are billions of galaxies. Where is the end? They've seen the ends of the world. They've gotten out there in that bottomless pit, ever learning, never able to find the sides and the bottom. Wouldn't have God gotten away from God? God gave them a little confinement. God gave them a little radius to orbit into. Around, you know, when a star, a sun orbits around a certain thing, it's saved. But if it tears loose from its orbit and shoots out, it's gone into endless eternity. And that's the way man is. He's broke loose from his little bonds and habitation of the world. That's why the angel set one foot on the land and one on the sea, raised his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, saying, time shall be no more. Throw away your clocks, throw away your almanacs, throw away your units and measures. Do away with all of the metrics and everything that you have used, because time will be no more. It was one eternal day, one endless day, before I ever dropped the little speck called the world into orbit. It was one endless eternal day with God, and there was no beginning and no end. There was no yesterday and tomorrow with God. There is no yesterday and tomorrow with God. Because the sun comes up and the sun goes down. On one side of the earth, it's up. On the other side, it's down. We call it day. We call it night. We call it yesterday. We call it tomorrow. And we're governed by it. And we say, we're tired, we'll go to sleep. We're rested, we'll get up. But with God, the sun don't go up, beloved. And the sun don't go down with God. There's no yesterday and tomorrow with God. Time shall be no more. And the time period is over in that little thing from Genesis over to Revelation. That little worldly stride from the birth of Adam to the last man. It's all ended. It's become nothing. And all of them go away into darkness, which means intellectual defeat. Lost, can't find their way. While the brilliance of the sons of God in their superior understanding emerges into the great light and transformate from light to light and glory to glory into the great world that's endless and wonderful, to where all things are understood, to where the city with walls most precious like jasper, and the foundations are garnished with beautiful jewels.
and the walls, every several gate in the walls are of one pearl. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. We who understand are not lost, beloved friend. We are found because we're born to that mind, and that mind controls us, and we're one with that mind. But they that don't have that light in their spirit and mind and life, that's not one with that light, they're lost, they're cut off. They're gone. They'll never make connection. They can't relate to it because they're not part of it. But we are. Glory to God, we are. Therefore, we exist forever. We live forever. We continue forever. But they're lost in the darkness, the deep darkness, and they can never be found again. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? The ends of the world is here. Time shall be no more, because it's that one endless eternal day that's setting in again. For we are not time creatures. We don't live a few years and die. We live without end, beloved friend. We live without end. Let's sing this together. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. Can you come down to the altars for just a few moments? For I'll sail, though I'll cease no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild storm indeed, but in Jesus I am safe. Don't you feel safe? Don't you feel safe? I am safe in Christ. Hallelujah. In the great light. In the great light, I am saved. I am safe. Hallelujah. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. Over the wild storm may be, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. For the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you feel safe tonight? I'm safe in His arms tonight. I'm safe from the bewildering things of the great world, of the unknown. I am known in the world that I have entered into. I am known of Him, and He is known of me. And as we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin and all iniquity. Because I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest to sail the wild seas no more. For I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. For the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Leave it there, oh, leave it there. Take your breath.
and leave it there. Rep you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord, leave them there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on Mega Fair, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me. Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Rep will trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring us out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hallelujah. I want you to slip your hands up. You know, tonight, God is doing something great and mighty. It has been this day that God has done something special and outstanding. I know that God does something special and outstanding every day. But this has been a special day and a special time in the things of God, and that we've understood that something very special has transpired even this day. And beloved friend, it denotes that the blood of Christ is ready to come off of the mercy seat. It denotes that those that would not have Jesus, as we ministered this morning in the revelation, it denotes that those that would not have Jesus and those that would not accept Christ are about to be cut off into endless eternity to never, never, never be able to be saved, to call upon the name of the Lord. You say, but Brother Pike, I can be saved whenever I want to. But the Bible teaches that no man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. And when grace is over and the blood is off of the mercy seat, then there will be no wooing and there will be no drawing. And the voice of the bridegroom, whereas the Bible said it's not him, the minister speaking, but the voice of the bridegroom. For the voice of the bridegroom shall be heard no more at all in thee, for it shall never again woo thee and speak to thee and encourage thee to find your place. For it shall not be heard anymore, and the voice of the bride shall not be heard in thee anymore. For the voice of the bride shall be stopped in that she shall be taken away, and she shall not be there anymore. And all the things that you hold dear to your heart, the Bible said, such as your refineries of life, such as all of the fine linens and all of the money and the gold and the silver and the education, all of the wonderful homes and lands and prosperity, prestige, shall be gone and be taken away from you, and it shall be there no more. Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. The Bible said, be sober, for the end of all things is at hand. But I'm so glad that Jesus remembered me. I'm so glad. Let's sing that song. Can we sing it? When he reached down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me. Can you sing it with me? When my Savior reached down for me.